It is time for the Positive Chats podcast on YesFM. And this morning we'll be talking with Dr. John Dins, author of the book Count It All Joy, The Ridiculous Paradox of Suffering. And we have Dr. Perkins on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Well, I'm doing good.
Give us a little background about yourself, John. How did you come to this point of writing a book about suffering and the joy in suffering?
It's a takeoff from my manifesto and what I was finishing up my life work. And I was looking back over my life and looking for the great truths that I had learned during my lifetime. And I wrote what I would call my manifesto. First thing I wrote that there was one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and that we was one human race, and that we was confused by that, and that we then color-coded them and broke them up. They was broke by sin, but he came on a mission of reconciling us back to what he created us to be. And that first book then, One Blood. And that method of reconciliation, which I have pushed all my life, he came to reconcile us back to the original, one human race, one God, one mediator. But then that brought about sin, and that sin was the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And so what we needed then was to be born again, and then we was born again of the pure blood of Jesus Christ, God's blood, God's Son, Lord's blood. That's what that book is about. And the trouble we're in now in terms of human relationship is because that we have lost the purity, and we allow racism and bigotry to split up. That's sin. Get rid of it. He came for that. So I made One Blood that argument. Then I said he came to reconcile us. He was going to do it by discipleship, making us friends. He came to make us friends. And that's what the gospel is about. That's what Abraham's seed was about, reconciling us back. We messed that one up too when we came out and made Adam's sons white, and he got our grandson that evidently was black, and he had to become servants to the white. That was a thought there. And so what we need to do is become friends. And then we looked at that. How did that happen? That happened through discipleship. What is the Enron? It's return to joy, but the joy and suffering that sin has brought. He forgives us for our sin, and he brings us back to that eternal joy. That's a general thought of it. And so we go through that process of looking at suffering and joy in the last book.
Wow, in your 90s now, and you've been involved in civil rights throughout your life, worked under several presidents as well. How do you see that on what the Bible says? And guessing you use the Bible as your background when you fought for civil rights.
Oh, yeah. My book is about a lot of that, and my life has been about a lot of that. And my life is now is reflecting back, and I see my mistakes, and when we get our sins forgiven, we get restored to that relationship. But then we have to continue to walk in the light, and I still see myself sometimes walking in the light and walking in darkness, which means I have to keep confessing my sin day by day and week by week when they come up. And so that's the Christian life. We have to find joy in our conversion, joy in our hope, joy back into the presence of God. He came to give us eternal life. and this is life eternal. You understand? Count it all joy. Sort of goes through what joy and suffering look like biblically. I use one of my illustrations in it is the book of Job and how Job had joy in life. He had trouble in life, and then how he went through that, and at the end of his life, it was like eternal. He's old now, he's like eternal. He got back more than he ever had. So that's sort of the illustration of that book. It's a good story.
Now, you use, in the title, you use the phrase, the ridiculous paradox of suffering. What do you mean by that phrase?
That's a contradiction to have joy and suffering. But it's in the Bible, because suffering is a part of our great redemption, and God calls us to suffer with him for others, and suffering becomes a part of discipleship. Suffering becomes a part of our growth. He told Paul when he met him on Damascus Road, I'm going to show you how much you can suffer. And look, Paul's life was like both suffering and joy. You find his joy in Philippians and all through it. And you find him teaching us how to do it, to confess our sins, John, and the gospel. The gospels and the epistles is primarily about repentance. It's primarily about avoiding being deceived. When he asked us about confessing our sins, he said, if we confess sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, that's in the context of the church and the Christian life. And the Bible is about a lot about the church. It's a lot about maintaining the fellowship, maintaining that oneness before God in terms of this world, and with pretty much all the groups, black or angry with white, with black, with Jews, and now we are angry with the minority, you know, and so we are angry. The only solution for that is God can cause us to come to him in repentance and confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to restore us and give us another chance. So that's what the book is trying to deal with us right now.
Yeah.
With where we're at right now.
All right.
Of the suffering and joy. I don't know where this pandemic comes from. We don't understand that altogether. But the suffering, and we're finding some solution, and they're trying to return to some sense of reality. But the biblical text is pretty strong as you read this book.
Now, when you mention suffering, what does suffering include?
It's part of life, psychological, all physical, all suffering. The psychological is probably is as strong as any other suffering, because psychological will move quickly to suicide, to death, and to violence, to killing. And a lot of what has happened in here, when you say psychological, I really think of saying something like confused, sort of like living in Babylon, living in a world of confusion. And that's where we are at. And so-called racial confusion, man, that gets to the heart of it. He wanted us to love one another because the love is of God. He that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. Now, to live that out, boy, it's going to take some repentance. To live that out, God is going to have to handle that. You understand? We got to turn to him, and it's here alone. I mean, even if we could have tried to live out the Constitution, it was a great statement. Extract from the Bible. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all human beings are created equal is endowed by a creator with certain rights, chief of those of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that's what the book is about, is trying to give us a, based on my own living and my own confusion and my own work in the civil rights movement. So that's what the book is trying to find, a pathway back to God. Was become that one that he told us to be, that you might be one, that the world would know you was my Christian because of our oneness of life. And so reconciliation, as we have played it out, hadn't worked. It's getting worse, you understand? Because then we missed the oneness he just wanted to live out. We was created to reflect him in his image, in his image. I haven't done that. And I don't see many in the world have done that. But I think those make attempts that turn back to God, and that we go in those, we have renewers. God called us to renew, to come back to him. I'll heal you. If my one people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I will hear you from heaven, and I forgive your sins and heal your land. So that's a promise laid out there, and that's another one would be laid on repentance, and repentance is another way of suffering. Understanding our sin and turn to God, and he purifies us, he cleanses us. I'm now 91, be 92 in June, and I'm going to suffering. That's what the book Count It All Joy is about.
We're talking with Dr. John Perkins, author of Count It All Joy, The Ridiculous Paradox of Suffering. Dr. Perkins, can you share a little of detail on some of the things that you went through from your experience? Can you share that with us?
As I look back on my life now and see what I went through, my upbringing, I was not brought up as a Christian. We was brought up as bootleggers and gamblers. And then, of course, I lost my brother. When he came back from the military, he was killed by a sheriff, a deputy in my hometown. He was white, my son, my deputy, and I was white. So I went through that suffering. I came to Christ when I was about 26 or 27. And when my little son came to me once after he had been to a good, and I asked him what he was learning. This is when I really got into God, looking for God, seeking God. He sung me a little song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're all oppressed in his sight. God loves the little children of the world. That really, as I look back, that's when I got a good view of what redemptory was about. And that's when I would begin to be discipled. And so over these last, now, 91, it's about 27, when I heard that, and that began to be my discipleship. Long story is, I ended up in jail in 1970. And I think I made a clear commitment to that, because that was because of racial uprising taking place at that time. And I went through that, and white folks helped me, black folks helped me. I think I began to grow and to feel the joy that comes from fellowship redemption, where the people who I had hurt it forgave me. We began to forgive each other and begin to try to walk together in reconciliation and putting our focus on those in need and not on those in need. And, of course, one of always our problem is to put more focus on ourselves and not enough on the other, because the Bible calls us to suffer with, for. I say in the book, we look more like Jesus when we are suffering with him.
What would be the first step for someone that is going through some sort of suffering right now, whatever it is? What would be the first thing that you would tell them to do?
I tell them to look inside of themselves and try to find the feeling of the sin that's in their life. Take that sin to God. I think all redemption starts with our confession of our sin, God showing us ourselves, and then, of course, finding Him to know God and to make Him. It's really looking to God, also to yourself, and then begin to repent of our life against him. Then how do we then become authentically pro-life? How do we work then for the goodness and the welfare of those who are in pain and suffering? And of course, if the way of the transgressor is hard. We are transgressors, and we are still have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what Jesus avoided when he was here, and that's what constituted him, you might say, as a Savior, certified him as a Savior, that he could overcome that sin. And the Christian life is that he come and place his righteousness in us, and it's his righteousness that searches our heart for us. And that we look that righteousness is trying to, as we confess it and discover it, it's more purified so we can continue to walk in light. The best illustration for that, what I just said, is walking in the light. Walk in the light of what you know about God and then confessing your sin to God, and that he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sin and to cleanse us from all the righteousness. I think that's the way you start with that question of both joy and suffering.
Amen.
Most people find joy when they find him right away.
That's where you find true joy, yes. Well, Dr. Perkins, thank you so much. We're honored to talk with you this morning. Thank you for your time. And how can people get a hold of Count It All Joy, The Ridiculous Paradox of Suffering?
It's on the web, and it's on our website, John Perkins. I don't know all of that. My daughters and others keep up with that. I'm trying to enjoy and suffer at 90 and had a major cancer operation 2 years ago. So I'm trying to get through this life, waiting on him to call Vera and I. We've been married for 71 years,
oh,
I believe.
Wow, awesome. Well, blessings on that and on your life, and pray that your book will just bring about joy to those that are going through suffering, that your book will have a great impact on a lot of people. Really appreciate it. Again, the book is called Count It All Joy, The Ridiculous Paradox of Suffering, from Dr. John Perkins. Dr. Perkins, again, thank you so much for chatting with us this morning. We enjoyed the conversation.
It's great. Thank you. Bye-bye.